This programme was funded by the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland with the television licence fee. Older Voices is a programme made by CRY 104 FM on the lives of older people living in the Ballymacota and Ladysbridge area. Their stories are told in their own voice. In this episode, we speak with John Motherway from Ballymacree. John has spent his life fishing from Knockadoon and talks about the skills the local families in the area had for surviving hard times. Salting pollock was a method of preserving fish used by families well before refrigeration. One-year-old fish were traditionally split, salted and dried over a peat hearth, and as John explains, it wasn't as easy as it looked.
We'd be all doing the Strand down in the gully, as we used to call them, like the Kishkeen down Corrigan and Koshan Vitia. And we'd be down there and the pollock would be in, like we hadn't much mess in market loaded, but the pollock, and they'd come in and we'd go down, we'd be fishing there. But he used to salt the fish. That's the first time I saw a pollock though being filleted, you know. Tom would fillet it, he'd have two sides, but they'd be like butterflies. He'd have the bit of skin down the middle of the belly, that'd be a, and he'd have them over the line above, and he'd turn them two or three times a day, drying them. But he did, he put them into a cardboard box then. Oh, there could be maybe 100 fish in the box, like. But the salt limit would be like, to be like powder. They'd be dry out then. Christmas time, you could get a salted pollock above of a Mary, and white sauce and spuds. There's pink spuds, and the white sauce, and this. Now, I salt fish myself, and but like I can't seem to get the amount of water. See, the women were mighty that time. The amount of water you boil the fish in, the bigger the volume, the more salt you'll take out the water, out the fish, you know. Now if we'll take too much out, it will be lev and it will be tasteless. But she was just able to do this. You need put no salt on the thing. She just got it right. It suited everybody. If they hadn't the bob tomorrow, they still had bread. They had the milk, the cow, and they had a neighbour if they were short or something, you know. So they had everything. You know, they're talking about recessions. They saw recessions too, but like they were well able to cater for it. Like, and they were so friendly, then like everyone helped each other, you know. I mean, if there was a bad harvest there, no, I went down and made the hay up with you, and you went along to the next neighbour and you done it for them, you know. We all, the community, like they were all one. I thought it was a wonderful time, like. Do you remember? Long ago, I was 15, 20 years ago. You must go organic. You must go organic. We are organic all our life. Tis they stopped us being, tis they got the battery in. You know, the battery egg, as we call it. They have the farm salmon now. They have all, like, we were organic ever and always. We went out, we put the dung out in the field. I remember my mum long ago, when I was only a smart lad, and I used to go down the field, down to Hennessy's field, you know, the cow dung down the field, you see, and you get your little scoop, and if you hadn't your handle, do you know, you can wash things, and capsize this fella, you see, sunny side up like, the damn side up, and that was for to bake the cake in the, because it was like a turf, wasn't it, and this it was hay and it was grass, like, wasn't it, you know, it was pure, it was really organic, and that'll keep in the heat better. And she'd have the best of the best to call it, and like about that round and about maybe 6 inches high, 5 inches high as was. And the cover on that, she'd have that heated, this cake we put into that, the cover on top of it, and she'd take out a shovel of this stuff, then like one to be nice and spreezy, nice and red, and up on top. And that cake, she knew when that cake would be done then. When that stuff was buttoned on top of that, that cake was done. And she'd have needled in the thing in. That cake, you'd eat your fingers after it. Hot cake and then butter for your supper. I mean, you can't get that today, like.
In 2007, the EU forced the Irish government to impose a ban on drift net salmon fishing. Minister Noel Dempsey, representing the government, decided to revoke the licence for salmon net fishing around the coastline. This caused great consternation amongst the rural fishing communities in East Cork. An absolute ban on drift nets for salmon fishing was introduced, and John speaks passionately about how this affected the small fishermen.
So we went off in a dead. You know, people coming from little surrounding areas like down, it was sound, they were sad, they like. But then we started off salmon fishing then, and then we started off with this lobster, like, you know. And now there's shrimp there. You know that we have the shrimp now because, like what they always say, you close one door, he opens another, you know. But the salmon fishing finished, I'm sure, in 2005, I think, no, 2006, that finished. Well, that left us kind of very kind of, that was our way of life, like. Then we had to go potting, then, like, lobster and crab and whitefish, you know.
Was it in a motorboat? Did you have a proper boat?
Oh,
and
yeah,
where did you get the first boat?
Oh, a little boat, like, oh, God. God, she was humble, the first one we had, and a little seagull engine. But, of course, we reached better things than, like, bit by bit, you know. But the first one I had, you know, you want to be careful, or you wouldn't want to run about, not, you know, you're not kind of a world of your own over there, you know, it was kind of untouched, you know, and you go down, you could do your, no, I couldn't swim, but you could do your bit of jumpy about, you know.
Did you ever learn to swim?
No.
You never learned to swim?
I'd walk in a dish, but I'd be afraid of my life in the water, really, like.
So you've never,
No, I'd tell you, I got no, just walk.
And it's amazing to think that, you know, can Steve swim?
No. If anything ever, well, you should never think of those things. Like, if anything ever happened, you want to go for a buoy or an oar or something, catch something that would float anyway.
That you'd float.
Yeah.
Well, it's unbelievable. When you think about it, like, because I'd be down in Knockadoon and you see all the kids jumping in and swimming and
well,
stuff like that.
That's the wonderful thing today, you know, like with the teachers today. This is all, you're asked to do this, to bring the kids swimming, which I think every child should, like. And you have no fear, like, if you're a 3 or 4 or 5, you know, whereas me know to see you because you know the dangers, don't you?
Yeah,
like,
that's
you
know, it.
The do's and the don'ts, like.
He talks about how this issue has affected rural Ireland.
It was a kind of an average, you made an average wage. You know, you never got rich, but you always had a couple of bob coming, you know, because everything we got kind of went back into the system. I thought, like, the government's doing along the line, like, they never thought of this, like, because whatever we made, it was always being recycled, you know, being put back into the thing, buying this, buying that, buying a new engine. And you know, but like when this finished and that all finished, you know, like it was very short sighted, I think, to close the fishing. It was the government's doing, like, you know, if they left the old times and the all known near Moore, Knockadoon, all the smart places, like it was all smart boats, we'll say 16, 18 footers were fishing, like. No, there was 40 and 50 footers. So like they were the trouble really, like, you know. In my part wasn't over fishing anyway, like. I'd say the big boats were no big help, like, because we were the weakest link then, so they blame the small fish, and that's what really happened, like.
The fishermen had to diversify into lobster fishing, shrimp and crab fishing in order to survive.
It is a tough life, like, because, you know, the work is hard, but it is very rewarding, because I love lobster fishing, because you get a crab, you get all the different little things you can get in the pot, you know, that it is like a lucky bag, you know, you don't know what's in it. you think that you'll get a lobster pot, you'll get a lobster or two in every pot. You don't. You get three in one and you get nothing in ten. Now, we often haul the string idle, you know. So what you do with that one, then you bait up again and you shift it a little bit, you know, to where use your loaf, like, and think where they should be, like, or where I got them, you know, last month or the month before. So that's what you do, like, you know.
Government policies made in Leinster House about fishing, such as the ban on salmon fishing and the compensation paid to fishermen, can be out of touch with the reality facing many fishing families along rural coastlines. The ban on the traditional practice of fishing for wild salmon in 2006 has had a particularly negative impact on small fishing communities around Ireland. Fishing is a way of life, and although Knockadoon did benefit from the compensation paid by the government after the ban by physically improving the slipway, many fishermen had to look for alternative work. Maybe lessons can be learned from the Celtic Tiger years with a return to our grassroots, and John would welcome the fair treatment of small fishing communities and the right to practice traditional livelihoods that are ecologically sustainable.
When they stopped that, like, people had to get some other way of supporting their kids. They never looked into this part of it, like. And I always said it, I often said it now to Steve, there was no redundancies, there was no, this isn't a peak, no, they gave us, or we were compensated, right? Compensation, you know, a very humble, very meagre sum, like, to each of us, to get rid of us, right, to buy the licence. No, that wasn't the peak. And since they done that, look at all the redundancies since. There's no one working now. No, if they may keep that 25 million that time and put it back into something else and leave us fishing away, at least we'd be working. You see, when the salmon fishing closed, they gave 30 million. Right, to compensate, that's all over Ireland now. And they thought another bright idea then, Bertie's army, like. They had this wonderful idea that we can't give them all that now. They wouldn't know what to do with that. We'll keep back five and we'll put it into this thing and that thing, you know, for in the communities. But what we got out of it anyway was huts in Knockadoon, little houses for our, you know, for the lads to keep that bit of stuff. And there's a girl in Middleton, Frances Burke, she's there in Eakhead. She was a wonderful help to us, like, to do that, like. And we have a house each now over, like, you know, and to lock up your motor and to lock up your bit of gear, you know, which is, and they looks nice, but as Francis done that for us, like, this is like, they, we got those, and we didn't get them to go, we paid for ourselves, like.
Of all the places on this earth is the loveliest I have seen, where the birds in spring do sweetly sing, and the lilies when in full bloom, and the river gently glides along till it reaches Knockadoon.
We would like to thank John Motherway for taking the time to talk to us about stories from his fishing life in Knockadoon.
To think of friends and neighbours and the glories of the past. Far, far from Cork, out to New York, tonight I'll sing this coon. Far from the hills and the rippling rills of dear old Knockadoon.
Older Voices was funded by the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland with the television licence fee and in association with the Ballymacoda and Ladiesbridge Historical Society. Older Voices was produced and narrated by Orla Reardon and edited by Tomás O'Keefe. Older Voices is a Community Radio Yall production.